Blog Talk Radio.
Tell my baby make it hot. Ride the cock till you hit the spot. Tell my baby make it hot.
Doing it doggy style. Wow, 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 yippee-yo, yippee-yay, bow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yo. Wow, 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 yippee-yo, yippee-yay, bow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yo.
Here we are. In all our glory. So tonight, we are actually having a redo of our show from the other evening. Blog Talk had a little problem. And we're going to fix it. Uh-oh, I think we have another problem. Looks like the show is telling us we're only on for 15 minutes this evening. Now I need to fix this. I don't know if we can do that. Let me see here. Okay, I'm going to take a look here and see if I can fix this mess before we... are only on here for a few minutes. Tonight we're going to have Pamela Cuccinelle with us. She should be calling in shortly. And she's going to give us the 2008 update. She's going to let us know what's going to go on this year, astrologically speaking. Hopefully some good stuff. All right, I'm going back on the Blog Talk site to see if I can fix this little snafu before it happens. All right, let's see if I can edit this. I don't know. Upcoming segments. All right, here we go. All right. I'm going to try doing this and see what happens. Hold on one second. Dr. Mark should be joining us shortly. And I'm not too sure on Jeb. Okay. I think we might be okay.
Did I show up?
Yeah, you did show up. I was just looking at the show, and it was going for 15 minutes instead of 30, but I do believe I fixed it.
All right, then. 30? We're not doing a whole hour?
No, we are doing an hour. It had us down for a 15-minute show, though.
Oh, okay, because you said 15 instead of 30.
Oh, God. Well, whatever.
Homie doesn't do 30.
No. But Pamela is already calling in.
Oh, all right. Because it takes me half an hour to figure out we're on the air.
I know.
Usually. Pamela's here, huh?
Yes.
All right.
Shall I pop her on?
All right. Did we do an intro? Because I was in the hallways of the catacombs of the Soma Space building.
Well, I did tell them that we were doing a retake and that Pamela would be with us shortly and that you would be with us shortly. And I didn't know if Jeb would be with us. But we do have his wellness goodie.
Okay. I'm seeing if I even have a switchboard tonight. Oh, look, a switchboard.
Yeah, I think everything's working okay tonight. This was just a human error, I believe.
Okay. And Live Help is cool with us being on for an hour? We're not going to get the...
Yeah, no, we'll be fine.
It says 56. We're good. All right. All I need is to be re-introed, and then I'm ready to talk.
Oh, all right. I have to play it again. All right.
I got to get the boogie on.
All right. You ready?
Yeah.
My baby makes it hot. Ride the cock till you hit the spot. Tell my baby makes it hot.
Doing it doggy style. Wow, 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 yippee yo, yippee yay, bow, wow, yippee yo, yippee. Wow, 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 yippee yo, yippee yay, bow, wow, yippee yo, yippee.
Okay.
Okay.
How was that?
Yeah, not bad. Well, we're a moon-based show on the lunes of the week.
That's right.
Hasta lunes, and now we will talk to another lunatic.
Let me pop her up here.
Pop her up.
All right. All right. Pam, are you with us?
Yes.
Yay!
Cuccinelle, Woo at Lodge.
I almost screwed up this show myself tonight, but I think we're good.
Okay. All right. Well, what do you want to talk about?
Let's start at the beginning here on Earth. The astrologer worldview, because it's become, one to me, out of all the woo maps in the world, there's a lot of them, astrology is one of the few that have crossed over from the woo, esoteric, out in the wilderness, under the rocks, nobody talks about, to the moo, the conventional world, and sort of found a home, because pretty much from USA Today to Yahoo, to anything you look at, horoscopes is really what people equate with astrology. Give me, from an astrologer's worldview, what horoscopes are to an astrologer's process as far as understanding astrology. I mean, are they just complete fodder? Are they just pearls to swine? What is a horoscope you pick up on any newspaper? I just got the Post here, or look up on Yahoo. What value does it have to the disciplined astrologer? Zero.
Well, the word horoscope to an astrologer refers to the actual wheel map, or however we draft the chart. The horoscope sun sign column was invented by a man named Alan Leo at the turn of the century to basically get himself a regular income. So from his point of view, it was a savvy way to generate public interest and get him a regular paycheck, which as an astrologer is not something that usually happened.
So it's a marketing tool.
Exactly. And astrologers are very divided about there are many different schools of astrology, many different kinds of astrologers. There are astrologers, I'm sure, who absolutely hate sun sign columns, which is what you're actually looking at when you see a printout in a newspaper or magazine. It's totally based on your sun sign. You as a Capricorn, Valerie as a Scorpio, or whoever happens to be picking up the paper. And it works best if your rising sign happens to be that sign, because that's the way they lay out the charts. First house rising sign is where they put the sun sign. So sometimes it can really be a disconnect, and those are the people who are at least happy with sun sign columns. From my perspective, it's something that gets people interested, excited, engaged by my profession, astrology. So yes, it's a marketing tool. There are good people who write it. There are lousy people who write it. But in the end, it's a very general thing, because it's just working on a theory that works best with someone who's very purely that energy, which very few of us are. You have all the signs in your makeup. You have all the planetary energies in your makeup. And when I say signs and planetary energies, it's just they are just symbols that refer to different places in your psyche, different ways that you operate in the world. Mars, for instance, is the libido, how we assert ourselves, how we get what we want or don't get what we want, depending on how our Mars is aspected in the geometric chart.
Well, I mentioned it a minute ago, like, we forget about it, how embedded we are in all this sort of pre-scientific, if I put it that way, or just kind of primitive maps. The days of the week are mapped to the planets, right?
Right. It's not really primitive at all.
Well, primitive in the sense that it was preceded what's contemporary. It was old stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. But these are people who didn't have iPods, didn't have other distractions.
Right.
They spent a lot of time looking up at the sky.
Yeah.
Spinning stories for one another. The stories, the archetypal hook is what people respond to when they pick up a magazine or look at their sun sign. Something is speaking to them, and it's one could say it's God's message if they believe in God, or they could just say it's some sort of synchronistic whatever that is talking to a person, why they suddenly will look at their horoscope when they haven't read it in 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
Happens to tell them something that makes sense for them that day. That's astrology's biggest hook, because it operates in a synchronistic way. It's up in the sky, what's going on in the heavens, studying those symbols and what it all means. As above, so below. That's what we say. And the better a person spends time and understands the symbolic messages up in the heavens, the better they are at forecasting or writing a sun sign column.
Yeah. So if you're a Westerner who doesn't particularly get conditioned as above, so below, because we're taught that we're separate from nature, and you know all those woodland creatures are on their own, and we're the humans, and we're basically here to control nature and basically operate almost in domination of it. There's a sort of a denial that we're even part of nature. Oh, there's human nature and all that, but we're not given any kind of an orientation that we're part of this cosmos unless we go to the religious aspect. So this is a, you know, much more of a, I would say, it's an Eastern philosophy, even though there's Western astrology, Eastern astrology, there's any number of other systems. Chinese has its own, you know. But I'm just saying, as far as an attitude, the average person walking around is not given a lot of sort of hooks into this perspective, because it is, to me, something that's outside of the Western mainstream culture in terms of its orientation. So how do you take someone who's been indoctrinated into, you do it, you get it, very, very literal, very figurative in the sense that our language defines how we experience things, and get them to sort of like not dismiss that there are things operating outside of their conscious awareness that are influencing the events of their lives using this this map of astrology?
Well, it's life's work to try to convince. I mean, it's very challenging to someone who just immediately dismisses me when they hear what I do. I mean, it's the whole eye gaze shift that looks at my forehead instead of my eyes when I'm at a party or some sort of context where I basically have to declare what I do, and it's seen as a ludicrous thing. And then if they're amused, then they might say, well, what's my sign? Guess my sign.
Now, I hear that being a psychologist.
Yeah, so
tell me about myself.
Hey, I'm a chiropractor. Come on. People would throw rocks and garbage at me.
They ask you to fix it.
Yeah, I mean, really, come on. I mean, so, you're giving people an opportunity that can be perceived as a threat. It's like, well, what if everything you assumed about reality and everything you assumed about the way events unfold in your life had a broader perspective than the one you were given by, you know, your culture or your upbringing, and now you're going to adopt, you know, give yourself another option, give yourself channel two at least, to say, maybe factor this in. Maybe this gives you something of a spark to say, well, if it isn't just all so funneled into this one way, this narrow way of thinking, maybe I can have more perspectives than one, and give myself, a chance to get, a distance from things that might have been limiting me. So sometimes it's like you read those things, and it's not like you're reading them for any kind of factual information. You're reading it to stimulate yourself out of the rut you're in, because you go, well, it's always funny. People turn to stuff like psychologists, the therapy, the chiropractor, of course, is the last resort, and astrology, especially astrology, because it's so convenient to get access to it, when they're at a crisis point, when they're flying low, and things aren't clear, and their regular world, their conventional world, the world that's sort of been given to them, isn't giving them the answers. They'll turn to things like this, but what my kind of hitch on it is, when do they know when to stop depending on it, relying on it, and using it as a way to defy the world that they live in and breathe in every day? Because sometimes I see people just say, well, I'm not going because the moon is void, of course. And it's the other person at the other end of the phone goes, you what? And it just seems like it becomes more of a crutch than something that can enhance their understanding of themselves when they start to sort of use the map as a barrier or a buffer, or no different than someone that has problems with attention. They go, it's not me, it's my ADD or my OCD or some other label. Oh, I did that because I'm a Virgo.
Right.
Sometimes, you know, it's a throwaway one.
As a chiropractor, surely you have patients who are doctor-dependent.
Symptom-dependent even.
Right, who don't want to learn ways to exercise, diet, and get more control over their body.
They prefer
to put it in the hands of someone else. Well, as an astrologer, that certainly can happen to me. I am not really someone who is comfortable or interested in having clients who want to call me at the drop of every decision they have to make. I don't encourage that because it actually doesn't interest me very much, which is a terrible thing to say, but it's true.
No, it's not. It drives me crazy too. When
I prefer more in trying to educate people, exactly as you say, how they can use this tool in a way that makes their lives more understandable. Or the hook that I get a lot of people engaged in is when I start to talk about it can help them relate more easily to the other. People are often much more interested in, ooh, how can I find out about my husband or my boss than they are about anything remotely to do with themselves. So when they hear that, then they get engaged, which always brings them back to themselves, because the way that we relate most effectively to the other is by looking at ourselves and seeing what we're doing to set up this kind of pattern that keeps recurring. And astrology is really very useful at letting people see their patterns. And it gives them a symbolic myth that they can actually grasp onto and say, oh, wow. And either they want to deal with it or not. Mm-hmm. That you can't really force anyone to do. You can show someone the method and the story that the stars talk about. And if they're willing to work with it and try to break free of it, or actually not so much break free of it, but use it as a means to help them understand themselves better. And if they do that, then they're really starting to effectively use the tool. And that doesn't mean that I don't see people, you know, every 3 months or 6 months or a year if mm-hmm. they're going through something that they need someone to kind of get them in line and move them along, because everybody likes a witness, especially when you're going through something that's very difficult and challenging. And it helps to have someone say, no, you're not out of your mind. It's the transits. This is a really challenging point in your life. You can work with this. You can move this. You can get through this. So,
like I said before, it gives you a cosmological sort of orientation. Rather than just being bound by your social structure, you have an expansive view of yourself, because now you say, wait a minute, my natal chart, no different than in psychology, they talk about, you know, your infancy and your old, they always take you back to when you were basically had no job and no pockets, and, you know, and they, oh, you were helpless and you felt inferior. I wonder why. That natal chart, it gives you sort of a compass to say, okay, here's where you started, and here's where everything else around you was when you started, and here's all the cycles that come off of that. You can choose to align yourself with those cycles and sort of get the gypsy cab ride here, or you can keep kind of like fishing around in the dark, because the culture doesn't give you this information. So this is transcultural. This is bigger than any culture on Earth can put together, because basically this stuff was here before there was cultures. So I just find that sometimes that there's almost like an astrology version from the mainstream for that sense, because we get past the sun signs and the sort of the, you know, like you say, the marketing tool of this, and you actually get to the inner work of astrology, it's really about taking ownership of who you are. And most people are renters with identity. They rent their identity from other things, from their careers and from sometimes from their ethnic background. But the thing about astrology that I guess kind of sticks in my craw, we've touched on it before, that people use it as a tool to predict the future rather than to try to open up and give themselves more possibilities. Because to me, predicting it means you're the only one that has a chart. Everybody else has a chart. I always thought it's kind of funny how it's like, you know, oh, I create my own reality, all that stuff. Well, wait a minute. If I'm walking down the street going west and I'm creating my own reality and someone else is walking down the street going east, now who's running the clouds? So it just seems like in one sense, it gives you some power tools, and in another sense, it kind of puts you in a bubble of that, like, my chart would be affected by everybody else's chart that I'm around, and that's also born. I mean, I don't know if they ever do this, but if you found someone who was born at the exact same time as you, you know, but not at the exact same place, because we talked about astrocartography with this, even though you're born at the exact same time, you might have a completely different natal chart, right? We could be within...
Right. Absolutely.
50, 60 miles of each other, right? I don't know how it works as far as how the charts
necessarily are completely different, but yes.
Yeah.
Definitely different areas of life, different concepts. And there's the free choice aspect. I mean, there are schools of astrology that are very predestination oriented. It is not the orientation of a lot of Western astrologers, especially post-psychological astrologers who look at that imprint and use the outer planets that were discovered after Hellenistic astrology, the Greek type astrology. So when you start to look at that, yes, free choice, free will is very, very important. And one of the things I say to people all the time, if we're going through a challenging transit or something that is really calling at us to pay attention to a certain area of life, we have a choice. We can either run away from it, deny it, pretend it isn't there, continue doing what we're doing and hope it doesn't knock the door down, or we can say, okay, I'm going through a Saturn transit. Saturn is considered the great taskmaster, the disciplinarian, Lord Karma, we call it, because the ancients saw it as the planet they could see with their eyes, the limits of the solar system. So when a Saturn transit happens, people have to really concretize and take responsibility for something. If they run away from it, ignore it, don't want to pay attention to it, they may well break a bone or need root canal or something structural that needs to occur. So it's very easy for an astrologer to forecast that kind of thing because it's very concrete. If someone chooses to work with the energy and say, okay, this sounds like a good time for me to go back to school and to really pay attention when I cross the street, then they aren't going to have necessarily a really difficult transit in the same way. When I talk to them, they'll say, oh, yeah, that's when I finished my PhD. That was tough. But they were working with the energy. They aren't telling me, oh, that's when my father died, who I was so alienated from, and I'm bereft because I can never make peace with that. Well, you see how it's different? So you can forecast what's happening energetically, but it's up to the individual to, and if he or she is working with an astrologer and giving them information, the astrologer sometimes can say, okay, you know, that sounds like that's the area you really have to look at. And also we can talk, yeah, it looks like it's about finances. It looks like it's time for you to not really gamble or to be a little more researching about things before you buy that house. So we can do things like that. But if the individual has blinders on and is not looking at their real situation, then they're going to have a tough transit. So,
let me do this because you're saying some vernacular that the audience might not be familiar with. Let's walk through from some of the things we covered from the top here. You got a natal chart. It's
right.
Got 12 houses.
Yes, that's the way I work. Mm-hmm, 12
houses. Okay. So the 12 houses correspond to?
12 areas of life. First house, for instance, the rising sign house is the persona, what people see when they look at you. Not
okay.
Necessarily how you feel about yourself, but what people see.
Hmm. So take us around the horn here. Let's go through that.
Okay,
so first house is persona, second house is what?
Second house is what you value. That's often where we look at how a person makes money, what they do with their money. But it can also be personal values as well. Traditional astrology just said it was things you own. It's also your body, how you take care of it. Third house is...
money and body, the same thing? Wow.
Excuse me?
The second house is you said it's...
Well, it's Earth. It's what, you know, it's your ownership up. I mean, your body is your sacred vessel. If you don't take care of it... You know, where do you end up? A lot of people hoard money and take care of their money, and they aren't paying any attention to the most valuable possession they own.
So Snoop was right.
Mm-hmm.
Your mind on your money and your money on your mind. Okay. So third house?
So third house is it's your early education, siblings, your neighbors, how you get around with your car or vehicles. Fourth house is your home, your roots. Where you came from in a nurturing context, The Americans often look at it as the house of the mother, whereas Europeans look at it as the house of the father, but it's the parent who nurtured or didn't nurture, depending on how it works out. Fifth house is love affairs, gambling, risks, how you play. It's very
the fun house.
Yeah, it's the fun house.
The fifth house is a party, okay?
It's also children.
Very eco in there. It's children, too? Well,
are our creative products. So,
I mucked it up with that last part, but okay.
Well, they come out of your body.
Not
your body. Sixth house is house of work and routine, health, how we maintain our health diet. Seventh house, and there are more things than in these, but I'm just doing quick words. Seventh house is the significant other. It's your spouse. It's a person who knows parts of you no one else knows, so it would be a confidant like a doctor or a therapist.
Consigliere.
Or your astrologer.
Yeah.
Eighth house is other people's money. Taxes is the house of transformation. So it's the things we can't directly control but have profound effects on our lives, birth, death, sexual matters. That's Scorpio's natural house. Ninth house is, because all the houses, as I'm rattling them off, are also have natural connections to the certain signs, but it can flip any way in your chart depending on when you were born. Ninth house is worldly matters, legal affairs, travel, higher religion, you know, the house of religion, and judgment. Where we place our morality is seen in the ninth house, how moral a person is. Tenth house is career. It's also considered the house of the father or the parent who went out in the world. Our status or need for status. 11th house is friends and community, if we like to network, and our hopes, wishes, and dreams is seen in this house. 12th house is the house of the unconscious, our dreams, and is considered the place where you find hidden enemies and the house of your undoings. In contemporary astrology, we see it as the house where you'll see complexes, things that we are not recognizing in ourselves that need to come out and be seen in a conscious way.
12th house is spooky.
Well, it can be for some people if they aren't conscious. Yes, it can be very scary. And it can be people who have strong 12th house placements have worked in institutions or have some sort of connection with being in a situation where they felt they had to surrender to in some way.
So you get these 12 houses. Now, the planets that are in your prenatal chart will kind of fill in these houses. So the more planets you have in a certain house, the more attributes you're going to have from that particular area in your life.
Well, the more that area of life is demanding a certain amount of attention. However, that doesn't mean that houses that are empty don't have anything going on in your life. That's one of the most common questions people say when they find out the seventh house is the house of relationships. They'll say to me, nothing's in it, and they panic. But every cusp of the house, the place where the house begins, and houses are divided in different ways in the 360-degree wheel based on where you're born on the planet Earth. We also do something called equal houses, where we'll just make all the houses in equal 30 degrees. But the sign that is on that cusp, like if, let's say the first house is 0 degrees Aries.
This is where I get confused. All of a sudden we're talking about
I'm getting too
tutorial. Okay.
In other words, every area of life is engaged for every person. But how much attention we spend on certain areas of life, and how much karma or things we have to learn in those areas of life will be shown by where the planets are falling and how they're relating to one another geometrically, because it is a 360-degree wheel. It's geometry.
So you have 12 signs of the zodiac that correspond to these houses, and
right.
then the planets correspond to the different signs too. And they all have emotional and seems like interpersonal aspects to them. And that all becomes sort of your fingerprint when you're born of your natal chart. And now it's up to you to navigate through the wheel as you go through life and face all these different challenges, right?
Right. Challenges and opportunities. That's
yeah, okay. As because you're going to come across stuff that, see, and so by only having the sun sign, you're only getting one house.
Absolutely. And the thing about the sun sign...
8% of the news.
It's the ego. It's the sense of self. It's
mm-hmm.
very important. I mean, the sun is the center of our solar system. But for people who are more based in, let's say, lunar energy, the moon energy, so they operate more in their emotional capacity, their capacity of habits and patterns, they're not going to be reading the sun sign columns with the same clicks and connections as someone who's more what we would say solar based. So, it's not, you're not getting enough information if you just have the sun sign. So,
mm-hmm. so again, and we got a call here. We're gonna let her on here in a sec. If you're making an equal sign between horoscope equals astrology, it's almost like saying. My big toe equals my entire, foot or something like that. It's like you're just getting what's on the surface, and it's like reading the headlines and not knowing the details. So that's why I think it's easy to generalize a horoscope, but it's also easy to dismiss it, because if it doesn't really resonate with you at that time, maybe something that's relevant that's happening in some of the other houses is really what you need to know. So it really helps if you're going to use this as a navigation tool or any type of self-reflection tool to understand the natal chart as it relates to what's happening out there right now, and then line up what goes on in between, right? Is that kind of the way you use it?
Well, that's absolutely right, Mark. Very well said. That's why astrologers have a love-hate relationship with sun sign columns.
Yeah, the marketing actually kind of like doesn't tell them the complete picture. Actually, there's 12 signs. It's really complicated. It takes you a lot to figure out. Come on in. All right, so let's see. We got the caller here. We'll pull her up. All right, you're on the air with Pam Cuccinell and us at Naked Soma. Hello.
Hi, this is Carolyn from Minnesota.
Hey, Carolyn.
Hey.
Hi.
Talk about
the dog is excited
rock.
You're here.
I have a quick question. You're talking about the 12 houses, and I've never heard this before, so it's very interesting to me. Just wondering if you could give me something where I can go and read, or have something online that I can learn more?
Oh, that's a good question. Actually, if you are interested in astrology, Stephen Forrest is one of the authors who's written some very easy to understand books, and Kim Rogers Gallagher, also very funny author. There's lots of online sites of varying degrees of good and bad and not so great, but you certainly are more than welcome to look at my site, which is sunburstoasis.com. I don't, at this point in time, explain the 12 houses really well, but there is an astrologer who, even a simple site like about.com, has information on astrology, and KT, the astrologer KT, has written a lot of very clear-to-understand information about astrology, and it's a fun site to look at. And I'm sorry, I don't know the exact web address, but if you Google KT Astrologer, you'll find her.
Okay, all right.
Got my trusty idiot's guide over here, if you like that. That's an easy book to read, too.
Okay.
In regard to astrology, because believe me, I'm the village idiot when it comes to astrology, because I've heard so many conflicting reports that I don't know what to believe anymore, because as soon as I understand one of these things, they go, oh, no, in the Chinese system, you're really a yak. And I'm back to square one. They changed the houses. Yeah, it's very. Believe me, it is an adventure. I can tell you. So,
okay.
Right,
well,
thanks
thank
for calling.
You. Yep.
Okay.
Thanks,
Caroline.
Okay.
Yep.
Chris
bye.
Soon. Bye.
Spring thaw. Bye bye. Okay. Back to Minnesota.
Ugh, it's cold where she is, boy.
Well, you know what?
Yeah.
That would be part of her destiny. It was one of those houses that screwed her up there.
Right. I was reading some stupid site, and it was saying top 10 places to live and top 10 this and that, and said the top 10 coldest places to live, and every single one of them was a county in Minnesota.
Yeah, well, come on. It Vikings. What are we talking here? Blue water. We're talking, you know, moose and the unlucky.
Well, the cold works for some people. That's true, too. I've never really looked at what temperature a person would like to live in. But, you know, that can show, too, in the chart to some degree. But
should cue the heat miser right about now. We should play that for them.
Oh, geez.
our friends over in Minnesota. Bum, bum, bum.
Oh, we don't
all
have
right.
to do
so
it.
So top of the hour
that.
Here at Naked Soma. It's our special rebroadcast. As the karma was not spinning for us last Wednesday night, and the server was crashing and things were happening. And we're here at Pam Cuccinello at 646-478-4847. All right, so we've gotten basically the orientation we needed to understand how the thing's set up. And then you astrologers start talking your stuff. And you got your triunes and your squares and all your other weird stuff. You start drawing all over that chart. It looks like a map of Sicily when you're done with it. And basically, if all these things are happening from the time you were born, now I'm biological with this. It's like you're very sensitive to your initial conditions. So this, if your birth is a pretty good initial condition. So you have this sort of like, okay, I'm born, musical chairs, the music stops, take a picture of the planets, here's the map. Now follow it from here. All these relationships between houses, planets, signs, it's almost like it starts to get too heady because you got a lot of variables now. You don't just have 12 houses. You've got all the interactions with the 12 houses, and then stuff happening within the houses, and then you get into weird stuff like retrogrades and things like that. Now, then you throw out something like, Pluto's coming out of Sagittarius, run for your lives, and no one knows what that means. So I always get scared because it took me about 20 years of listening to this about things like Mercury retrograde, I wouldn't answer the phone for 3 weeks. You know, Mercury retrograde would happen. No. All communication must shut down for 3 weeks, you know. So it's like all these little parts of astrology that sort of hang in between the people that actually are using it as a discipline and investing themselves in it to learn it or to use it as a profession, and people that are just trying to get a different take on the events of their life to understand it so that they can actually process it. Because I tell you what, sitting on a shrink's couch and having them tell you that, you know, you really got a complex and your mother did this to you and you know, you're still stuck in some phase, and that's no more empowering than going, you know, your eighth house is really reaming you and you know, Chiron is up your Saturn, and you know, what's the difference? Six and one half dozen in the other. How do you use the information beyond the like, we'll talk about this Pluto thing in a minute because it seems to be something that's pretty important this year, to make it something that people can functionally transfer into their lives without reading every book on it and trying to interpret it all? How do they get the driver's license to make this map something they can use to navigate life with on, I don't know, on a daily basis, but at least on a tangential basis, like when they need to? How do they get that sort of level of competency that they can actually say, okay, I can look at and an astrologer's report, like a lot of times they do it when there's a new moon. They'll say, here's what's coming up. Oh, the moon is coming out of Aries, and it's coming right up your street. And Aries is supposed to mean something to me. And all Aries means to me is I'm usually in trouble.
Okay, I hear what you're saying. And
frustration.
I think that the other thing that happens when people get into a lot of astro babble and sound
terminology
like Mercury in retrograde and Saturn transits and things like that is that it can really it can be very alienating. When I talk with people in a client session, there's different ways that I will talk based on their level of knowledge or what they want to hear. With some people, I very seldom even refer to much about the what I'm seeing on the chart in terms like Pluto in Sag or Capricorn or anything like that, because what they really want to know is when they're going to be able to sell their house. I mean, they really don't care. So there's different levels of someone's interest in what they want to know about astrology. You can learn enough about astrology that you can open up a, that's if you choose to learn, I should qualify that, so that you can open up a calendar that has the placement of the planets on. There's a couple of, well, there's actually several really nice calendars. Jim Maynard makes ones, Llewellyn makes one, Wee Moon is the one for women. So there's different ways you can see where the planets are, where the moon is, and relate it to your horoscope. You need to know what your horoscope is, and that you can find. There's actually a few sites that will print out wheels for free, so you can see that information, but it doesn't mean anything to you unless you start to learn it. It's like, how do you go to Mexico and speak Spanish? Well, you have to bother to pick up the book and start to work your way through a few languages so that you know that agua is water and the different things like that. Otherwise, you're clueless. You just need a guide to take you through. And a lot of people do that. They get on a bus, they go to Tulum, they see it, it's beautiful, and they never even learn how to say Buenos Dias. I mean, it's all a matter of how much information you want to be active in this information and how much you're just along for the tour. And either way is fine. If you realize you're going through a difficult phase and it seems like a good time to see someone who speaks the language and can interpret it for you, then you just want to see an astrologer every couple of years or when you feel like you're going through a difficult transit. But if you really want to get a handle on, gee, is this a good time for me to start a business, or maybe I'd be better off looking at it 6 months from now, or maybe next year would be a more auspicious time. Then
this is a leaping off point, because now you're not so much talking about who and going into like studying my sign, like, okay, I'm a Capricorn and that means I'm a cardinal sign, which means it's this and this and this and all these other sort of psychological attributes. Now you're saying when, and every year has themes to it, cycles to it, that may or may not line up with you, with your little natal chart there in your hand, saying, okay, well, okay, now I know who I am, now what's going on around me, and how do I take advantage of that? Because now you're talking about sort of the stock market part of astrology, of timing, of understanding rhythms that are happening all around you. Because we talk a lot in our work, it's the moon's influence on our emotions, which gets into chronobiology and a whole bunch of weird stuff that has its own jargon. But there's a numerological way to look at a year, okay? And then there's the astrological stuff, too. Like, and definitely next month, the Chinese New Year, they'll start all over again with their dogs and pigs, and they can't figure it out. They got monkeys. They got all kinds of things running around. So they do. And then as soon as they figure it out, they throw it on the fire pig. Can they get the five-element thing in there? Oh, watch out for the fire pig. And so I guess I get to the point where if you're going to do something in terms of change, and this is all this is talking about, either you can't handle change or you desperately need to make one. That's when people reach for the astrology button and break glass and say, okay, now I'm gonna actually do this. But other than giving you sort of a compass and saying, okay, here's where all the good energy is pointing, and this is when you got to focus it. What's the most practical thing for someone to do? The study. What the nature of their sign is, their sun sign, or their what they're born under there, to understand, okay, as a Capricorn, these are going to be my challenges, because all Capricorns are stubborn, all Capricorns are frugal, all Capricorns are practical to a fault, and they're high achievers, and they're late bloomers, and 60 other things they're going to stick in their head about being a Capricorn, good or bad or indifferent. Or is it more practical to say, okay, well, this year, we're moving into these different energies, and like we're going to talk about Pluto if it kills me here. And that means that that we have to sort of take that into account, that this might not be the best cosmological weather for me to make these types of changes at this time, because I'm going to be fighting the wind.
That's right.
So there's two ways to go. You could go in introspectively and look at your sign, and then even look at your chart and say, okay, this is what my map was, or you can say, this is what's going on outside this year, and this is what I need to listen to. Which of those two is making a first step?
There's really not two ways, because everything relates to the other.
Sure, yin and yang. I'm just saying, for someone to make a first step,
right,
it seems like you can go on the couch with astrology, you can go to the window.
Right, but there are. You're absolutely right in that there's two ways that people become engaged.
Mm-hmm.
And there are clients who are just, all they want is the practical, you know, the things that have to do with business opportunity, those kind of things that are they need information about, because it helps them navigate it. Why am I having such a rotten year? Well, this is a year that you're supposed to research more and build more and figure things out. It's not really a year that's about bringing all that in. And that all works individually. Yes, we can talk about Pluto going into Capricorn, which is happening in a few weeks.
Yeah, I'll give you a lead in here, because this is what we got to get into for
okay.
the last part of the interview.
How
this,
that
I'm
influences...
I'm dying to understand this. I've been reading about it for 3 days now, because we were going to do this retake interview tonight. I'm like, I got to know that, because I get so confused. And it, on Planet Waves Weekly,
right?
It says, well, first it says the anti-planet at the edge of reality, which is Pluto. 2008 is a year of an unusual transition. Pluto will begin to move from Sagittarius to Capricorn. Kind of like moving from, like, Baltimore to, the suburbs of D.C. All right? Pluto is one of those bottom-line planets. That is the energy you feel, the energy of a threshold. It is Pluto changing signs. It sets the theme for the rest of what we experience, spreading out so wide that it colors the entire landscape of existence. With Pluto and Sagittarius between 1995 and 2007, we had many opportunities to focus our vision, and we may have done so with obsessive intensity. It may have been what some would call a spiritual vision of growth, enlightenment, a better world, or something you perhaps decided was much less valuable. So that's like the preamble to how powerful Pluto is. It's a big dog coming through.
Mm.
And apparently it doesn't change for, what, looks like about 12 years, all the way around, right? 12-year cycle.
It can be longer because it goes on this really oval elliptic, but Scorpio was its shortest path, and it's starting to lengthen now again. But yeah,
all right.
it's
coming the end of the month. Was it 26th?
Yeah.
Okay, so then what will dramatically change when it moves from Baltimore to the suburbs of D.C. And takes on the attributes of Capricorn?
Okay.
These are all constellations, these things, right? Sagittarius, Capricorn, they're all constellations.
Well, they're constellations, but it's not really... Western astrologers, basically what we do is we divide the sky into 12 pieces, and they were labeled the names of constellations, but they don't fall under the constellations. That's why if you see a Vedic astrologer, a Hindu-based astrologer, they work totally with the real sky. So a Capricorn can become a Sagittarius, because there's a 23-degree difference based on precession, but that's a whole other topic.
Oh my God!
I shouldn't even ramble on, because your poor little brain will go crazy.
You make my hair hurt. I mean, I can change signs in the Vedic system.
Yes, exactly.
I'm never going to a Hindu dude then. They'd be coming back as a frog or something. I can't handle it. We're now in late January. It's January 27th. I wake up, and Pluto has moved.
Right.
What happens?
Okay, I don't know that anything will absolutely happen on that day, although there will be some sort of symbolic message. There always is.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing with the slow-moving planets, Pluto, a dwarf planet, the thing with the slow-moving planets, its cycle is 248 years around the sun, is that you don't get these really dramatic shifts from the day it enters in. It takes a while for the energy really to sit in there. And we're starting to already feel part of the Capricorn as we're leaving the Sagittarius. And I think part of where you feel it is looking for symbols. I wrote on my site about this that one of the symbols I saw with it was Harvard making a decision to start letting middle-class people go for very reasonable tuition. So that is really going to change what happens in education systems. I mean, not every college is going to start offering endowments, but people are starting to look at how come it costs so much. That's a very Capricornian way of seeing things as opposed to Sagittarius is, let's spend more money. Let's spend more money.
Yeah.
Let's build bigger gyms. Let's have state-of-the-art spas in our colleges. It's not so important anymore once Pluto goes into Capricorn. What's important is that education. So that's part of the shift that I see starting to occur.
The secret rules the party once again.
Yeah, that's the shift. Basically, Pluto in Sagittarius was Sagittarius ninth house matters, as I said earlier. That's religion, the people in other countries. It's been a lot thematically about very strong fundamentalist religions coming out, people questioning what religion is, defining religion, gay marriage. These things are all very big topics that occurred. Education. The fact that Americans' children are just falling way behind when you look at Eastern countries and their emphasis on religion. So on education. So these are all Sagittarius subjects. Oh. When we get into and Pluto, the farthest out planet, has to do with the parts of us that we're least able to access. So it's very unconscious. It's very primal. People really, they get into survival mode about this stuff. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, you know, we saw this in a very profound way with the theme of religion and the xenophobic sense of people just being separate.
So now we're going 10th house, career.
Now
back to the
Padre. Exactly. So now the emphasis is going to be more on the financial world. The switch of power, in a way, of where money is with Dubai and the Shanghai financial tower, shift of financial power definitely gone over to the Eastern sphere. So how that all works and reconciles doesn't
mean... Capricorn's like the piper, and he wants to be paid.
Exactly. So we no longer can just paint big word pictures, and that's why this coming election is so important, even though at that point in time Pluto will have cycled back into Sagittarius briefly. It still is under the shadow of Pluto going into Capricorn, and that president is going to be the president for the first 4 years of Pluto into Capricorn. So it stays
like this for a good number of years, right?
Yes, it does. 2024 or 25, I think. But
2025, it's like this?
Yes, and for a while.
Oh my God, we're like this for 20 years almost?
Yeah.
So it was in one sign for 12. It's going to be in this one for 20?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, this is wildly bad news.
It's also big for the United States.
We got like 3 weeks to have fun, and then it's we're back to work.
Well, we natally have Pluto in Capricorn, so we will be experiencing a Pluto return.
Oh, this is going to be like a big cosmic enema for like 20 years.
Well, I think it's about Capricorn is it's. Yes, it's about career, it's about status, but it's also about taking responsibility. It's about going the slow road instead of the fast track, and it's time to make assessments. Any place where, and certain people are going to feel this more personally than others, people who have Capricorn in their charts, strong Capricorn.
Yeah, hello, yeah.
That's
the planet wave says this, as far as this goes. On an individual level, we need to take the visions we have held for ourselves personally and for the world and put them into action. We may feel that the world is an illusion, is not really subject to change, but Pluto is the harbinger of progress. This power that is about to be turned loose on the known cosmos basically has no moral predisposition. It does the job we give it, yet to give it any job at all, we must actually take a risk and take responsibility for our choices. Oh, my God.
Right, right.
All right. This is. Believe me, January 25th has just become Fat Tuesday, even if it isn't a Tuesday, because the party's over on the 26th, everybody. All right. So, see, that's all I want to learn about astrology for this last day. You gave me everything I need to know. Fun's over.
We're not going
to the front house. We have to live 110 to get back to the fifth house where all the fun is, because after this, we got friends and hidden enemies coming up the next two times it changes.
Well, I wouldn't say the party's over because it's basically time to build new foundations and to rip down anything that isn't serving. So the party will be over for some people. That's absolutely true.
Well, maybe the right people. All right, Pam, thanks for joining us. I think this was a rousing hour of education for me anyway, and I hope the audience enjoyed it.
Pretty scary.
It tells me basically.
Oh no! Why are you scared? You shouldn't be scared.
I'm not scared. I'm an eco. I'll be fine.
My Capricorn is in what? Venus.
Yeah, my Capricorn's probably in Uranus.
You have Venus in Capricorn, and Mark has the Sun in Capricorn. Actually, you have this Sun Venus thing going on, which is why I guess you like one another.
I have a Sun Venus thing.
Oh no! Aries Venus is what we.
Oh.
Say is on your sun, so it's very close in degree, and it's at early degree Capricorn. So, so that's why you're adding all this drama to the.
Oh,
and,
right. Well,
but
yeah, I'd appreciate a paragraph when you get a chance to sum up what you just said. I have no clue, because it took me at least 25 years to understand that being a Capricorn and being in trouble so much was not some kind of dysfunctional Capricorn, some kind of mutant strain that were going to drum me out of the union, just getting over that. But this helps me out, because this tells me that these cycles and rhythms actually have a purpose, and they're not just coming here to just kind of knock all the pins down and set them back up again, because sometimes it just seems like Sisyphus. You know, you push the ball up the mountain, and then it rolls back down, and you just keep pushing it back up, and that's basically life. This actually says, no, there really is a sign for transformation, progress, and all that stuff. So that makes astrology at least have a happy ending for me, because at least something is going to change.
That's
the cable might go out a couple times before it happens, but at least something is going to change.
Mm-hmm.
So thanks for that.
Hey, my pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks,
Pamela. All right, Pamela, thanks again. We'll have you back in 6 months or so to see if we're all still here.
Okay, bye.
That'd be good.
Bye-bye.
Oh, that was good.
Yes, I feel a little dirtier for the trip, but, what are you going to do?
No, get a hose on you. All right, we got 2 minutes. We got a lot to do in 2 minutes.
No, really?
Yeah.
Mine says 39 minutes remaining now on my stupid thing here.
Oh, just it crashed a while ago, I guess.
Does this thing ever work?
No.
Yeah. Believe me, after the 26th, we might not be joining you much. So anyway, there's your astrology for the year. Pluto's coming. Hide the children. And for the most part, what I got out of this hour is that if you look at our somascopes we talk about each week and how the lunar cycles relate to this, the emotions you experience, it's almost like the mirror in your car. The objects might be closer than the actual, the objects might be very closer than they actually are. Same thing with the lunar cycles. When you're going through them, like we're coming out of our... a little exo week, tomorrow's the last day, and when we join you again on Wednesday, we'll be in the final phase. And it's the first cycle of in the winter cycle, so we'll be talking a little bit about that, and we have an interesting guest to start us off in the final week, Holistic Wisdom entrepreneur Lisa Lawless, I think her name is, right?
Right. I confirmed everybody, I think. So, yes, she's the ninth. She's confirmed, ready to go. It's going to be very interesting.
If you'd like to make a call, please hang up and try again. If you need help, hang up and then dial your operator.
Pretty much what I got out of tonight. All right, so for Dr. Jeb and Absentito and for Professor Val and myself, this has been Naked Soma in retrospect. Travel light through the darkness, and we will play you out with a convenient song that we will randomly select.
Well, we got one there that might work.
Go ahead, play one. I don't care.
All right.
Kind of faggot, but okay. Well, bye, everybody.